Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated General Grabber ATX. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning to you. Welcome in. It is the Dan Patrick Show. I am Doug Gottlieb. He is J-Mac, Jason McIntyre. And you hopefully are enjoying a day off. It's President's Day, and the day after the NBA All-Star Game. I think it's the day after the Olympics. I was told they started and ended. Can't tell you much else about it. We have a cornucopia, a plethora, a potpourri of amazing sports topics. A week and a day removed from the Rams winning the Super Bowl. Jason, how are you?
I'm excellent, man. An incredible weekend was had. I know there was no football, Doug, which made me sad, but get to do a lot of family stuff, got to do a lot of sports myself. And of course, Steph Curry, you know, won the weekend, which is nice. He's, you know, one of my favorite players in the history of sports since I've been alive.
He won what weekend? Why?
Well, he won the weekend with what he did in the All-Star game.
Hitting 16 threes.
A little 50 burger. Doug, listen, I know we're going to get to a major topic that you're hot on. But when you watch Curry, there's really nothing like him in sports. It's electric to watch quarterbacks, pitchers throwing no-hitters. But what Curry is doing with these threes and turning around with the ball in the middle of the air on a 35-foot shot, you just don't see that. It puts an excitement level to what he's doing. I'm not into All-Star.
Jason!
I've never seen
Jason,
the Pro Bowl.
Jason.
But Steph
Jason,
Curry just saved the weekend.
Jason.
Yes, Doug.
Stop it. Please.
What are you talking about?
You asked
me how my weekend was.
Bro,
Steph
it's
Curry
the worst.
Won it.
First of all, if your thought of the weekend is Steph Curry, then I'm struggling. Secondly,
why are you struggling?
The head coach of Michigan.
Yes, I know. I'm aware.
Took a swing on national TV at an assistant coach of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay. And people's takeaway is, wait for it, we shouldn't shake hands at the end of games.
Timeout, Doug. I need a 20-second timeout, three minutes into the show. What do you mean people's takeaway? Who are these people that you speak of?
There's a tremendous amount of discussion in the media, reputable people, that we don't need to have handshake.
Okay, again, I need to read these columns and see these, because these aren't, I think this is like, it feels strawmanish to say no handshake lines. That is an idiotic, moronic statement that I just refuse to believe that's true. Give me the name of someone I can go read that right now, because I've not seen that.
Seth Greenberg,
take.
I believe Dick Vitale is there, Mark Price.
Wait, Seth Greenberg, this comes full circle on Steph Curry, yes. Mark Price?
Yes.
He said no handshake lines?
Yes.
Can we get him on the phone, Jay Stu? Can we interview Mark Price this morning?
Yes.
I don't want to talk to Seth Greenberg. He hates me, by the way.
Anyway, let's talk about what I
no handshake lines.
What I think is without any question, the biggest discussion point in sports, because there's layers to it. Okay, it's not just you have incredible institutions and the second highest paid faculty member at those institutions in Wisconsin and Michigan. It's on CBS. It's on national TV. It's at the end of a game. You have Juwan Howard, who's a man of quality repute, right? Like, people like Juwan Howard. Not just he's the guy of the Fab Five that feels like he always had his stuff more together. Like, he was always feels like he was more mature than anybody else. That's why he's been elevated to being the head coach, and he's so respected. But like, so you have that. You do have the fact that he is black. The assistant he took a swing at is white. You had a fight that ensued after. He wasn't part of a melee. Like, he basically started the melee. And then, thankfully, you had it in Wisconsin, where you have Wisconsin fans going, oh, geez, oh, Pete, there's a fight down there, right? If it happens in some other arena, God forbid some fan gets involved, or there's fans close, you know, something gets thrown onto the court and it gets even worse. Like, on national TV, the head coach of Michigan took a swing, who was a former player, okay, took a swing at an assistant coach of Wisconsin who's a former player. Like, that actually just happened. I'm still dumbfounded that it actually happened. All right, so let me kind of walk you through things. Wisconsin put a whooping on Michigan. Okay, they're up.
Everybody's
20.
Doing that this year, right? Michigan stinks.
I don't think they're very good.
It's been a disappointing season for Juwan Howard. I think that adds a layer to it. His frustrations have been boiling over for weeks.
No
question.
This
is a guy who runs hot. You remember the Big Ten tournament last year with Turgeon. Howard. And Turgeon had a moment. Yeah.
Yes, and he had a moment, not with an official early in the week when they beat Iowa in the first half. There's been some moments there. I don't think that it's the disappointing season, which may or may not end up, I think, less likely, obviously, now in the NCAA tournament. But it is a disappointing year. But they're down 20. They're pressing. And at the end of the game, Greg Gard empties the bench. And, you know, when you put in walk-ons, they're not used to facing a team that's pressing them. There's 6 seconds run off the shot clock when Wisconsin's trying to get the ball into the front court. Okay, there's a rule in college basketball that if the offense calls a timeout, it resets the 10-second count. You know, you get 10 seconds to get the ball across half court, right? So Wisconsin calls timeout. That ticks off Juwan Howard, right? The game is essentially over, and why do you call a timeout with 20 seconds left to go in the game?
To win the game. That's why.
Okay. So they're going to handshake lines, and keep in mind, normally here's how it works. Okay, the head coach leads the handshake lines. Everybody gets behind the head coach normally. There, the first thing that happens, the buzzer sounds, the head coach is at midcourt, shakes the hand of the other head coach. If there's going to be a blow-by, you know, the old short handshake, the old FU, okay, it's still the head coach is usually first. In this particular case, that wasn't what was happening. The players were shaking hands, and he was, you know, a yard or so inside. And Greg Gard came up and tries it. It felt like he was trying to cool it down, explain his timeout. Here's what Greg Gard said happened in the handshake line. All right, we'll get that for you. We'll get that for you in a second. So basically, Greg Gard. Said, you know, I'm trying to explain why we did the timeout, and Juwan Howard wasn't having it. And Juwan Howard said,
I was walking through it. You know, I know he didn't come through right away. He came in later after some of the players and was going down the line with everybody, and they were all fine. And he came up to me and pulled his max down and said, I'll remember that. And he started pointing it at me and tapped me in the chest. And I said, hold on. Let me explain to you why I took the timeout. Maybe he doesn't know the rule that you get the 10 seconds reset. I wasn't going to put my players in that type of situation to have to break a press in 4 seconds, coming stiff and cold off the bench. I wouldn't do that for a regular group. If I can take a timeout, it gives my players the best chance to have success. So that's where it started, that he said, I'll remember that. And I said, hey, let me tell you why I did what I did. And he didn't want any part of it and kept moving on.
Okay, so here's Juwan Howard's perspective.
Well, wait, guard left off that he put his hands on Howard in the line, right?
Right, here's Juwan Howard.
That's kind of a big deal.
Hold on, here's Juwan Howard.
You know, I addressed with the head coach that I will remember that because of that timeout. And for someone to touch me, and I think that was very uncalled for him to touch me as we were verbalizing and communicating with one another. So that's what ended up happening, and that's what escalated it. Touching me unnecessary wasn't cause for that when we were talking. And at that point, you know, I thought that was, you know, time to protect myself.
Oh, God. Like, it's just, honestly, the whole touching thing, I understand on a level. Juwan Howard, 6'10". I had to protect myself. Like, dude, stop it. This whole thing is embarrassing. First of all, neither of them said, you know what, I'm embarrassed for what happened and I apologize. Not once, okay? Neither of them. Second of all, like, we act like Greg Gard goes up and he's going to do something, and him trying to explain somehow puts the defensive on Juwan Howard. Like, would we just stop? Okay, here's the problem, Jason. Here's the problem. Juwan Howard is the head coach of Michigan. And I don't know if enough people understand, like, Michigan is, they view themselves as better than everybody else. And I think they're viewed as one of the pristine universities in all of America, right? Michigan and Wisconsin think of themselves as, hey, we're like Ivy League schools, only we like to party and we got great sports. That's how they think of themselves, okay? So he's acting like he's a player. Okay, the whole, he put his hands on me. And if you, first of all, when you're head coach, it's different. Second of all, okay, if you're the head coach, you're supposed to lead the handshake lines. And, oh yeah, by the way, if you are going to view it as a player, there's one rule in basketball that everyone knows when things get tense. What is that rule, Jason?
You know, adults in the room have to kind of settle down. And
you never throw a punch. That's the rule. No one throws a punch. No one throws a slap. You do not. Everyone knows it. He played in the NBA for over a decade. He knows it. Okay. And like, again, I understand that a grown man, you're like, yo, man, why are you putting your hands on me? You're heated. But like, his temper is embarrassing. The whole thing is embarrassing. Now, what do you think should happen?
Well, I need to back up. It's tougher than what do you think should happen. So, Doug, here's my thing. Is there precedent for a moment like this in sports where a coach throws? I think fight is strong. I would go with skirmish because I don't think like anybody got dropped. I think there was like hands flying, but it was.
No, there were punches thrown afterwards.
There was definitely a Juwan Howard punch thrown.
Juwan, it's a slap, but whatever. If you go into a swinging motion.
Yeah, that's not a good look. It shows poor sportsmanship. But is there precedent? Extremely poor. Extremely poor. So is there precedent for a punch thrown?
I mean, the only thing is Woody Hayes punching a kid, but that's Hayes punching an actual player.
Right. So you're not the same.
Clemson.
Okay.
No, I've never seen this before.
Okay.
I know coaches have squared off and gotten into it back in the olden days, but never on national TV, never in the handshake line.
See, and that makes it difficult for meting out a punishment here. So, and I know people are not going to like to hear this. In the offseason, the head coach of one of the best programs in America, Mark Few, got popped for driving under the influence. He got a one-game suspension. I know that's an individual thing. It does not involve poor sportsmanship. It was not captured on national television. From my point of view, a DUI is significantly worse than throwing a punch at another coach. Significantly worse, not even close. Now, it's tough to compare those two, but it is a suspension.
Dude, you're comparing something.
Onions. How's that? It's a suspension. You're talking, what's a suspension? What's a punishment? Well, this is what the punishment was for Mark Few. Do we have other examples of coaches being punished? Because right now I see 5 games left for Michigan. I think you suspend Howard for the rest of the regular season and probably the Big Ten tournament to avoid an incident with guard. Because some wise guy on social media, Doug, I don't know if you saw this, put together a clip of all the guard Howard handshakes. There have been, I believe, 3 or 4. And every single time, it's been a little tense. It was either a quick, get the hell out of my face, one of those fast ones. So these two have an issue. I personally would suspend Howard for the rest of the regular season and the Big Ten tournament. and let him coach the March Madness if they make it. But that would be
the NIT. Yeah.
If NIT, whatever. Are you saying suspend? Because personally, I'm saying no, you do not fire Juwan Howard over this. I don't think that's even on the table. But we know that the president of Michigan was recently bounced for, shall we say, an inappropriate relationship in the building. There is a lengthy email trail. That story is ugly. And I don't know if there's leadership right now at Michigan to say we're firing this guy. Can the board get together and say, let's get him out? We're going to bring in X coach who we're going to overpay. Sure, you could easily do that. I personally don't see that happening. I don't think it's on the table. Do you?
It's definitely on the table. I don't think he should be fired. Like, okay, we're going to have real talk here. Or we're going to do the media thing. Like, the real talk is, what would have happened? Okay, Greg Guards White, Howard Eisley, who played at Boston College, played in the NBA as an assistant at Michigan. Tables are turned. Greg Guards swings at Howard Eisley. What happens today?
Well, you just said, are we going to do the real talk thing? And then you came up with a fake scenario.
No, the real talk is that if Greg Guard were to swing at Howard Eisley, slap Howard Eisley, Greg Guard would have been fired before he got into the locker room.
Fine. What if this was a female assistant coach who swung at an opposing coach? Like, you could do this all day. I don't want to do that. I don't like making up a fake, hey, if the black-white tables were turned.
Why? Because that's a real part of the discussion.
But that hasn't happened.
I understand it hasn't happened. But I think Juwan, because of the quality of his reputation as a human being, okay, is he gets a bit of a reprieve. I mean, the real talk, of course he should be fired. Like, of course you should be fired. It's embarrassing. What you did was embarrassing.
Embarrassing, right. But fired?
Yes, he set off what could have been a really ugly brawl.
Could have, would have, should have, Doug. Come on. It wasn't. It was an ugly moment.
Were the kids fighting before he slapped Kravinoff or after?
After Guard grabbed Howard and then Howard swung at him, yes. And I'm not excusing Howard's behavior.
He didn't swing at Guard.
Swung at the entire Wisconsin team. It doesn't matter. Okay, Doug, you know this. If you go in to meet somebody and they put hands on you, I know your senses are
going to... Nobody put hands on you. He's 6'10".
Did Guard not grab him by the shirt? Did Guard not grab him and say, wait, you got to hear my side? If somebody grabs you...
He's trying to calm him down.
Don't grab a guy 6'8" who's significantly bigger than you. Just don't do that.
Honestly, somebody grabs you and they want to talk to you. You look them in the eye and you have a...
I say, what the hell are you doing putting your hands on me?
No, you don't.
You have a man-to-man civilized conversation.
Yes.
Doug, when was the last time somebody put their hands on you? That's what I thought. It doesn't happen often because guess what? Stuff's going to escalate if that happens. I'm not saying Guard is at fault. I'm speaking
in reality. You asked me a question and then you waited like half a second. You asked me a question. Okay. When you have, first of all, coaches, for example, when they have discussions oftentimes, right? Whether it's the coach's lobby at the Final Four where you're running into a guy, a lot of times guys there are physical contact guys. And look, there are people who they don't like the physical contact or whatever, but you put your hands on somebody, and I know there are lots of people who don't like to be touched. I understand that, okay? But there's a difference in don't like to be touched and the, yo, man, like I'm almost claiming self-defense here.
Well,
like,
that is ridiculous, yes.
The whole thing is ridiculous. Okay, so again, here's the answer to your question. Do I think he should be fired? No, I think it's overreactive to be fired. It's a really ugly, bad incident, and it's a black eye for everyone involved. Everyone has a little bit of fault in it, right? Like, you know, Joel Kravinoff comes in and I think actually the players are generally least at fault. Okay. Because when the punches were thrown, many of them, I think they feel like they're defending their coach, which is, you know, when you go into these road environments, you feel like it's us against the world. And when the coach is your example. Okay. So I think the players should get the ones that swung, they're going to have to sit at least a game. I think that's fair. I don't think they should get more than that. I think the coaches should see the most severe. In the real world, Juwan Howard should be out of a job today. but just because of what he represents. He represents Michigan, and he completely lost his cool. It's not the first time he's lost his cool. It's not the first time they've had a handshake line incident, and this is on him. They say you're either coaching it or allowing it. In this case, you're representing it. Okay? But I don't think he should be fired. Okay? But, I mean, I just can't imagine a worse scenario where the head coach of Michigan took a swing at another head coach.
Well, I'll tell you this, Doug.
Another assistant coach.
If Juwan Howard was, I don't know, 7-16 right now, given the expectations for this team and winning the Big Ten last year and going to the Elite Eight, I think he'd probably be fired. And you'd have to admit, whether you would like to or not, can he coach? Can he win? Can he recruit? That stuff matters. And that would be a huge loss for Michigan if you bounce Juwan Howard after 3 years for this. Huge loss.
Yeah, I just look. We'll get back. We'll circle back to this because there are many different layers to it. And thankfully, there was no malice at the palace. Thankfully, like everybody walked away okay. I actually agree with generally your suspension. I think guard probably should get a game. But man, that was. That was something. LeBron James, you're acting about Steph Curry shooting, making 16 threes is the story of the All-Star game. To me, it's LeBron James' comments combined with the story about clutch sports. I want to get into that.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Searching for a job can be a lonely process. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, nobody's on the other end, applications that vanish. It's time to find a better way to find a job. Express Employment Professionals, the local jobs expert that you can trust. They never charge a fee when they help you with your job search. Go to expresspros.com, find the office nearest you. Each year, tens of thousands of job seekers find work with the help of Express Employment Professionals. And Express helps you find all kinds of jobs, manufacturing to logistics, customer service, accounting, and so many more. Getting an interview with Express can be as easy as a phone call. And with just one application, Express Employment Professionals will have you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Make your job search easier. Let the professionals help at Express Pros. Express Employment Professionals. It's your one connection for getting a job. Visit ExpressPros.com today, and good luck.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Pauly. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
Doug Gottlieb and Jason McIntyre in for Dan and the Danettes here on the Dan Patrick Show. Mark Slater will join us in 4 minutes. I quickly want to get to this LeBron James and Clutch Sports story where multiple reports have Clutch Sports, the agency that Rich Paul runs, of course, and his biggest client, his biggest advocate, is his closest friend and ally, and LeBron James, upset with Rob Pelinka for not trading Russell Westbrook, a 2021 first-round pick for John Wall.
When was the last time John Wall played a basketball game? At least 2 years ago. Seriously, he's been out that long. Also, hey, great shout-out on the bumper music there. Slap it a bass. You know that movie, right?
I do not.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I do not. John Wall played last year.
Did?
Yeah. Played 40 games last year with the Houston Rockets.
Wow, I did not know. You sure about this?
Positive.
All right. Oops, my bad, folks. I thought he was out for the last 2 years.
No, it was the year
before.
Remember
he slipped in the shower after getting surgery?
Yeah, he had the heel, Achilles,
that's
and then
right.
The infection as well.
Yeah, oof, that was rough. Yes. I got my COVID years mixed up. Apologies to John Wall and his family, who I'm sure are handling this okay.
Yeah, he didn't play the last, I think, like, I'm going to say like 11 games or something of the season last year. And towards the end of the year, there was a lot of struggles. But yeah, that Houston's paying him to not play and he's a clutch client. Like, look, here's the problem with LeBron. Like we can all admit like he's a great player, okay? But he's a bad general manager, terrible general manager. And he has zero accountability.
Wait a minute. Time out. How is he a bad general manager? Did he not put together half the team in Miami? Did he not put together the moves that they needed to make in Cleveland to help them overtake the Warriors? Did he not get them Anthony Davis? He's a bad GM.
Well, they overspent for Anthony Davis, and he destroyed.
They got a chip.
Okay. If that you're result-oriented, that's fine. So what? What they built, I mean, like, look, what he had in Miami, Dwayne Wade was already there.
Right.
Right? And he didn't make the decisions in Miami. Riley made the decisions.
So you don't think there was any talk with Bosch beforehand? No, at the Olympics, hey, CB, let's do this, let's go,
yeah,
come
but
on.
Guys, you have to understand, guys do that all the time.
Right. Guess what? The guys are doing it. I mean, I know we want to give Riley all the props for putting together Miami team. I think Riley gets props for not firing Spoelstra when LeBron said, "Yo, let's get this guy out of here," after what, like 20 games, they were 11-10 or something, 10-9, something early. LeBron wanted him gone, and he didn't get his way. Give Riley credit for that, but I don't know. LeBron's a good GM, bro.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you with this particular team that he put together. This is the most power and control that he's had. Okay. You know, because look, we can be critical of Kevin Love, for example. But like, Kevin Love was the guy he wanted, right? They trade away what was Andrew Wiggins, who hadn't played a game yet in the NBA, for Kevin Love. But regardless, okay. Plus, his teams, you know, he wants everybody to get paid, and the problem is that they get paid and then they get over the cap, and then he wonders, why didn't you go and get better people to put around me? You know, I mean, that's
Kevin Love Kevin Love won a championship. He would give up anything, any award that he's ever gotten, to win another championship. That's how championships works.
No question. That's not you're kind of missing the point there. Regardless, okay, with this Lakers team, it's the the irony to the they're unhappy with the construct of the roster when LeBron and the clutch guys put together this roster.
Yeah.
Right? That's the old Rodney Dangerfield line. You know, just the other night, my wife told me to take out the garbage. I told her, you cooked it, you take it out, right? That's basically what the Lakers are saying. Like, you cooked it, you take it out. The roster is too old. They went from being the best defensive team to trying to get offensive players, and it's an abject disaster. You got an untradeable asset, and they wanted to trade an untradeable asset for an equally untradeable asset in John Wall. It's laughably bad. Laughably desperate. Anyway, we'll get to what it means for him saying, I'll play my last year with Bronny James upcoming the show. Let's welcome in Mark Schlereth, Stink, 3-time Super Bowl champion with the Redskins and the Broncos, and of course, an analyst for Fox Sports covering the National Football League, and a super talented radio host in his own right in Denver. He joins us, Man 101 author Mark Schlereth. Stink, let's start with the story out of Tampa that there was a rift between that got untenable between Brady and Arians. What do you think of that story?
Well, I mean, you've got to understand who Bruce Arians is. And I found it laughable last year when people were talking about, well, you know, Bruce Arians called Tom Brady out in public and, this could cause problems. They went on to win the Super Bowl. Did it ever cause problems? Not really, because if you know Bruce Arians, there is no virgin meat on anybody's ass in that organization. It's all going to get chewed. That's the way he coaches. So, and Tom Brady loves to be coached hard. So I just look at those as speculation. I look at those as I don't know that those are really true. And the bottom line is, hey man, it's a tough game, and when things aren't going well, everybody's a little bit ticked off and upset about it. But do I think that Brady and Arians had a rift that caused Brady to retire? No, I don't believe that.
All right, Mark, let's talk about your Broncos real quick, because I'm infatuated with the Aaron Rodgers storyline. You know, they keep losing in the playoffs with LaFleur and Rodgers, but all anybody wants to say right now is, oh, well, the Packers will just give him $45 million a year or $50 million and make him the highest paid for a year, and they'll run it back in Green Bay. And I wonder, if you're the Denver Broncos, what is your big pitch to Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I mean, number one, he's got Nathaniel Hackett, who he loves. He really enjoyed Nathaniel Hackett as the offensive coordinator. They have a great relationship. So he brings, he brings that to the Denver Broncos. So that would be something that, for me, gives him life, gives him excitement, is a guy that not only challenges him, but makes it fun for Aaron. And I tell you what, this game is such an arduous season, both mentally and physically, especially as you get older. And it's got to be fun. And if that's the guy that creates, that kind of an enthusiasm, that kind of excitement, and that kind of learning and understanding, then that's enticing. The other thing, for Aaron Rodgers is, do I really want to come back on a one-year deal or, a two-year deal where they know, they're going to have voidable years and they're going to push things back to the final year. I don't know. I mean, that to me, the whole thing when all of a sudden it became a negotiation in public, that to me was greasing the skids for Aaron Rodgers' departure.
Yep.
That was very much like what the Dallas Cowboys did for 2 years with Dak Prescott when they kept giving him fake contracts and then announcing it to the media saying, wow, look how greedy this guy is. It's almost to create this animosity between the fan base and said player, knowing that said player is probably going to leave or going to turn down your offer. So you get out in front of it, you make it look like, man, we can't live without you, and ultimately he's going to leave. I have no idea, because I would look at Green Bay if they can, re-sign or they franchise Devontae Adams, but they can't franchise Devontae Adams because there's not enough room in the salary cap to do both Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams that way. So something's got to give, and it just feels like he's going to leave. And I don't know that Denver's the destination. Heck, maybe it's Kyle Shanahan, the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know. But it certainly feels like the Packers are greasing the skids for a departure of Aaron Rodgers.
Why would they bring back his favorite quarterback coach then?
Yeah, that's a good question. And unless Aaron Rodgers decided, hey, man, that's the guy I want. Right. And I talked to Aaron Rodgers for 45 minutes a year ago doing a game, and he pointed out Tom Clemens, because I asked him, you know, I asked him about fronts versus coverages and how you tie those things together. And he said that Tom Clemens taught him really how certain fronts go with certain coverages, you know, so a under front or a 25 front versus a 57 front, you know, into the weeds here, but how they all pair with the coverage. And so oftentimes, watch Aaron Rodgers play, he'll never look at the DBs. Like, and he goes, it's one of the ways that I try to mess with DBs. I won't look at the DBs. I won't look at where their leverage is, or if they're single high or double high safety, because I know what it's going to end up being based upon the front that I see. And Tom Clemens actually taught him those things. So, yeah, I mean, is that a desperate plea by Green Bay to say, look, we're bringing back your quarterback coach? I don't know. I mean, all we can all do is speculate and read the tea leaves, and we'll see what happens. But, man, it makes it exciting. I mean, from your mouth to God's ears, I hope he comes to Denver.
It's interesting. Mark, you mentioned Rodgers and San Francisco. Now, I know you were just tossing it out there, but there is some sentiment out there that, hey, maybe Trey Lance ain't ready yet. Maybe he needs 2 years. And could they rent a Rodgers or – who knows, make a play for Tom Brady to come back to the Bay Area. What are you hearing out of San Francisco?
Yeah, those for me are speculative. I know that, hey, man, it was Trey Lance. You moved all the way up to number 3, and he was going to be the heir apparent to Jimmy Garoppolo. Is he going to push Jimmy Garoppolo out in this competition and that, this, that, and the other? And I did a couple San Francisco games early, and frankly, other than, you know, coming in and running some – zone read type of runs and play action. I know early in the season that Trey Lance just flat wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to assimilate that entire offense. And that offense is a lot. There's a ton of verbiage for the quarterback. There's a ton of checks. There's there's a ton of not only formations, but personnel groupings and adjustments and shifts and fly motions and motions. And so there's a lot that you have to keep straight in the West Coast offense, especially when you run it like Kyle Shanahan runs it, where a lot of teams base out of 3 wide receivers, they base out of 11 personnel. So you're not really adjusting from a formational standpoint, or at least from a personnel grouping standpoint, where in San Francisco, you base out of 2 back and then you rotate 2 tight ends, 2 backs, 3 wide receivers. You're bouncing in and out of personnel groupings all the time. And it changes the guy who is, you know, in charge of motion and all those things. So it just becomes a lot to think about. And certainly Trey Lance wasn't ready to orchestrate that offense at full capacity.
Okay, so one of the things kind of lost in this discussion about Aaron Rodgers is that the Packers have him under contract for 2 more years, right? So in order for him to leave, they have to trade him, right?
Right.
They have to trade him. Why would the Packers trade Aaron Rodgers when they have him under contract?
Well, they would trade him because they can't afford the contract that they have. So the only way that Aaron Rodgers plays in Packerland is agrees to renegotiate the deal. And this is how it's been explained to me. There's so much of a cap hit on Aaron Rodgers that they can't afford to keep him as that contract is currently structured. That's why they renegotiated it last year, made it essentially a 1-year deal, and then gave Aaron Rodgers the option based upon how that contract is structured, knowing they have to restructure it to get, you know, to create a salary cap. Like right now, if you try to franchise, and this is how it's been explained to me, but if you try to franchise Davante Adams and you kept Aaron on the roster or on the salary that he's at right now, you would have about almost 50% of your total cap value tied up in 2 players.
Ooh.
You know, and then you got to find a way to fit 50 other guys underneath that. It's untenable. You can't do it. So that's why he has the power to say, no, I don't want to play here. You got to trade.
Hypothetically, Mark. All right. We want 2 first round picks. And we want Bradley Chubb and Judy. Is that too much?
For me, no. Hell no. It's not too much. One, you have to understand my value system. All right. So I grew up in Washington in the Redskins organization at the time. Obviously now it's the Commandos or the Commanders or whatever, you know, whatever they've decided to, it sounds like a USFL team to me, but whatever. So in my time there under Joe Gibbs always used to say, hey, man, I will trade an unknown commodity for a known commodity in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And you got to understand that most of the guys that play, you know, you look at the first round picks. Yeah, how many of those guys are truly become superstars, truly become franchise type players? And I would, you know, I'd venture to guess it's even at the quarterback position. I mean, 2018 was, you know, a lot of people compared the 2018 class to the quarterback class of 83. Really? Because would you take Baker Mayfield now? Would you take Josh Rosen? Would you take Sam Darnold now? You know, I mean, they still haven't given Lamar Jackson a big-time contract because you're worried about him and his health and the way they play, the style of offense they play. Really, two out of those five have really, really panned out, obviously, in Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, who's been great. But, you know, the longevity, look at Cam Newton. Cam Newton since 2017, 2018, he just, first six games in 2018, that guy has been, you know, that guy has just been injury riddled and has not been able to play. So the shelf life of playing that style of offense does not, you know, it doesn't lend itself to longevity at that position.
If Aaron Rodgers is plan A in Denver, what's plan B?
Prayer, I think, is just bended knee and pray that, you know, Drew Lock figures it out. I would think that at some point, if Aaron Rodgers says, I'm going to stay in Green Bay, then you have to start thinking about, can we trade, you know, for Jimmy Garoppolo? Can we trade for a Kirk Cousins? You know, you think about Kirk Cousins, and I know he's under contract in Minnesota, and I don't think he's going anywhere, but is there something that would entice you as a franchise in Minnesota to let go of Kirk Cousins? But then you would start looking at that next tier of quarterbacks. I think there's going to be a huge market for Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, you start to look at, you know, all the different places that that he fits, and I think there's a ton of those places. So I think there'll be a huge market for Jimmy Garoppolo, but I think that would be plan B where you would have to go.
Awesome stuff. Stink, waiting for the next Man 101 video on social media. In the meantime, you can tune in and listen to him in Denver, or you got to wait sometimes football season to hear the pure genius of Stink himself. Stink, hope you're well. Talk to you soon.
Good stuff.
All right, guys. Be good.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Searching for a job can be a lonely process. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, nobody's on the other end, applications that vanish. It's time to find a better way to find a job. Express Employment Professionals, the local jobs expert that you can trust. They never charge a fee when they help you with your job search. Go to expresspros.com, find the office nearest you. Each year, tens of thousands of job seekers find work with the help of Express Employment Professionals. And Express helps you find all kinds of jobs, manufacturing to logistics, customer service, accounting, and so many more. Getting an interview with Express can be as easy as a phone call. And with just one application, Express Employment Professionals will have you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Make your job search easier. Let the professionals help at Express Pros. Express Employment Professionals. It's your one connection for getting a job. Visit ExpressPros.com today, and good luck.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Pauly. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice, and you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
Good morning to you, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Jason McIntyre, who you see on Fox Sports 1. He's got his podcast. It's called Straight Fire.
Fire!
Doug Gottlieb, who apparently I'm supposed to turn down fill-in duties. I'm not really sure. Of Dan, who I've gotten a chance to fill in for in two different networks for the last, 15 years or so. Welcome in. It is President's Day. What is this? Jay Stu, is that you putting this here? Like, is this, do I have to read this? Like, I know the President's Day is Lincoln and Washington put together, right? And now it's like a uniform holiday that started back in 71. President's Day is now popularly viewed as a day to celebrate all U.S. presidents, past and present. Do we have to celebrate all of them? Really? All of them?
Ooh, shots fired. Doug, favorite president of all time, go.
That's a good one. I would say, Ronald Reagan or Barack Obama. Those are very moderate.
Favorite. I will lean toward Lincoln. Got the U.S. through the Civil War, helped lead to abolishing slavery. Good job out of Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, I mean, Lincoln's good. I wasn't not really totally familiar with any of his work outside of obviously abolishing slavery is kind of a big thing, and the Civil War was kind of a big thing.
Barry Obama, not a bad call either.
I think he's a hooper. I felt like he's older than me, but there was a certain like generational relationship there where it was just different than a different feel than any other president I felt like. And then Ronald Reagan in the 80s was probably the most imitated. And obviously it was a time of great growth, and the 80s were fun. But I'm sure you can dig up dirt on all these guys. Lincoln's a good one. I just haven't, like, I'm not like I studied Lincoln outside of the big thing, which was pretty historic. That's a good one as well. Okay. Let's get to this story. Rich Ornberger works for us at Fox Sports Radio, and he had two stories that he does a weekend show here on Fox Sports Radio. And Rich played for the New England Patriots with Tom Brady. He had two stories over the weekend, which he took to Twitter. One was that Pat Mahomes has told his wife and his brother to shut it down in terms of social media.
I think you forgot a word, Doug. Come on. Influencer brother. That's what his brother is, or claiming to be, an influencer on TikTok. Continue.
How many followers does he have?
I don't know. I'm not on TikTok.
I mean, I think he actually does have a big following.
No, he's a reasonably big deal in Kansas City, which I don't think is a hard thing to do, but
So is that what you do? You do the condescension on the way out? Like,
I think you fired off like seven condescending shots first hour. I get one off on Kansas City, and all worked up.
The only thing I said was like, if you're gonna say Damian Lillard over John Stockton in a basketball game,
I said I would take him over on my team. Yeah, I would take Damian Lillard.
Yeah, then let's just not talk about it.
You can have Stockton, and I'll destroy you. Yeah.
Let's just not talk about it.
I have hoop with Doug before UCLA. He's good, obviously, still.
Yeah. And also, by the way, like, you're taking a shot at an influencer, which, you know, I'm not a big Mahomes Jr. fan, but it is a real thing. And like, look, how you made it big in this business, it is, you know, 15 years ago is dissimilar but similar in how influencers are making, right? Like, you were a disruptor.
Not with social media, with a website. Nobody reads really websites anymore, but yes,
right,
with a website.
Right, but what was websites being disruptors to mainstream media, now I would say influencers are disruptors to traditional stars.
It's very weird, right? I mean, you know, I was at Rams 49ers NFC Championship game, and they start showing on the big screen, like, who's there and the famous people. And then all of a sudden, you're like, you see these people who are, like, I guess, big on social media. I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are. But apparently, they have a large following. No, my kids do not. I refuse to let them get involved in that crap. No phones for my kids yet. They watch very little of YouTube. And yeah, they don't know, like, they're not on TikTok. We're trying to keep them away from that as much as
Jackson
possible.
Jackson Mahomes has 1 million followers on TikTok.
Oof. Now, I assume that's a lot, right?
Yes. 1 million is that's a big number.
That's like okay. Yeah.
It's a big, when he sends out a TikTok, 1 million people at minimum automatically get it. That is a gigantic number.
You just wonder with some of these bots and buying Jackson Mahomes. Like, who's following? No, whatever. I don't want to waste time on this.
No. Okay. Anyway, so Rich Hornberger, who hosts a weekday show on our affiliate, XTRA 1360 in San Diego, Hartman and Rich O. And then weekday mornings here on National Fox Sports Radio, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. So he started with the Pat Mahomes thing, which he then, after getting some pushback, kind of back down on, right? But then he said that basically Tom Brady, who is recently retired, one of the reasons that he retired was that he was done with Bruce Arians, and that Arians meddling with he and Byron Leftwich's game plan irritated him. Basically, the honeymoon was over between the two. When he got pushed back on that, he said his sources are impregnable. Now, Mike Florio, who's does a website, profootballtalk.com, in his crack research team, saw that A.Q. Shipley, who's a former teammate, both in the pros with the Patriots and in college with him at Penn State, must be his source. But he's not backing down from the Brady and Arians had a rift. And that ultimately is one of the things that led to him retiring. What do you think?
So listen, we know they had a rift two seasons ago, the year they won the Super Bowl, right? Very famous. They were 7-5 heading into the bye week. There was some sort of tug of war won by Tom Brady over the bye week. They did not lose a game the rest of the way. They won the Super Bowl. When you're winning, it covers up all the behind the scenes ugliness, right? Tom Brady wanted to do it his way, the way he had done it forever in New England. Bruce Arians, you know, like, chuck it and duck it down the field. That was his game throughout his career, basically. And what happens in year two? Well, Antonio Brown melts down and Godwin gets hurt. The offensive line is banged up. Things don't go as smoothly in the playoffs. They lose. And Brady says, you know what? This isn't really working out. I mean, I know Rich well. I've done his show plenty of times. I'm not going to speak to his sources or this Shipley character. But this one, none of this would really surprise me. And, Doug, I just want to point out, in life, you know, some of the biggest benefits come through compound interest. You know, working out, obviously, if you work out and continue to work out, you stay in shape. It's a lot easier than if you say, I don't know, take 2 months off working out. Then you get a little flabby. Tough to get back in shape. Compound interest of working out. We know investing and relationships are massive. I mean, Tom Brady worked with Belichick for 2 decades. The interest built, the trust between those two guys was enormous over 2 decades. It's not a shock that after 2 years, Brady's like, eh, kind of done here. By the way, quick side note, if you look at the Tampa Bay Bucks, they are, I don't want to say free fall, but Doug, Godwin, probably not going to start the season, probably not back until November off the surgery. Antonio Brown, obviously gone. Leonard Fournette, free agent. Tom Brady gone. That's like over 75% of their offense out the window. And we know the defense was leaky late in the season and in the postseason. I'm going to go ahead and say Tampa Bay, unless they make magic and get Jimmy Garoppolo or something, who doesn't really fit with what Arians wants to do, throwing it down the field, is like a 7-win team next year.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're going to look like next year. I think what people want to believe, and maybe they're right, because I don't know Tom Brady, is that this caused him to retire, but he'll quickly unretire at some point in time late in the season. And, you know, you got people, well, he'll go to the San Francisco 49ers at midyear, and he'll play for the 49ers, and he'll try and win another Super Bowl, and then he'll ride off into the sunset, right? It's fascinating. I think that's what's behind this story, is the opening the door to, would Brady still come back and play? And I think the answer is no, he ain't playing anymore.
Ooh, spicy. No, definitely not. How about the fun one was San Francisco, if Shanahan determines that Trey Lance is not ready,
not good,
they ship Jimmy Garoppolo out of town. Tom Brady comes home, right? He's from the Bay Area or the Bay Area adjacent, whatever. And Tom Brady plays QB for the second half of the season, or the full season for San Francisco. Any interest there?
I don't think so. I don't think that's the whole reason he retired was mama ain't happy. Right? That's really what he made a deal and she's reached her breaking point. You know, that's really what it feels like. Of course he still wants to play. There's a lot that goes into it, but it's also like he wants to spend time with his family. This is not Brett Favre, hey, I want to just be on my tractor. Then you're on your tractor for a week. You're like, okay, I got to go do something else. Right? This is a guy who is married to a supermodel who is also, you know, the most successful financially. And they made a deal. Hey, at some point you get to go back to doing your thing and I get to hang with the kids. I think, and I could be wrong, but I think that he'll dig retirement. He'll dig the freedom of being able to drink a beer. He'll dig the fact that he can go anywhere that he wants and do anything that he wants and explore. You know, I think that football is such an all-encompassing job, and the thing that he did as well as anyone's ever done it was lock in, and his life was football. You know, these are guys, they're up early in the morning. They're the first one in the building. There's a story. Who did I have on? What's his name? What's the quarterback of the Washington Commanders?
Jason Stewart. Patrick?
We had Taylor Heinicke on.
Oh,
the
Heinicke,
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We had Taylor Heinicke on the Super Bowl, and he told me a story that he was with the Patriots for 3 weeks, and he came in with the, I'm going to be the first one in the building. You know, I just signed with the Patriots. I'm going to make a good impression, right? He gets in there like 5:30 in the morning, and he goes into the quarterback room, and who's sitting there but Tom Brady? He's already got a cup of coffee, and he's already watching film, right? Like, this is Thomas Edward Patrick Brady the second, and it's 5:30 in the morning on a random weekday in October, and he's already in the building, already watching film. Like, that's, it's a real thing. And I think you know, though you miss the energy of Sundays when there's 80,000 people cheering for you and 52 other guys with all eyes, actually 45 other guys with all eyes on you, right? 45 other guys, and you're leading them into battle. Like, that energy is really hard to replace. I kind of felt like it's time, even if his body could do it. I think that mentally and physically being retired, I think he's done. Do I think the rift and the fact that Arians doesn't run a tight ship and the fact that Arians can be more abrasive even with stars than people lead you to believe? Yeah, sure. That's got to be – that helped push him along the decision, but I don't think that's why he shut it down. I think he shut it down because he won a Super Bowl. They tried to run it back, and it shows just how hard it is, especially when you're not in New England, because – look, this is a big thing. When you win a Super Bowl, everything changes. You get into the restaurants easier. You're viewed differently. And though Brady could handle it, not everybody can. And Arians clearly could not. And that organization clearly could not. And I agree with you. They do appear to be a bit of a smoldering dumpster fire.
Yeah, it's crazy, Doug. You know, this is the end of an era. The Peyton Manning, Tom Brady era officially finished. If Brady doesn't return. And I know that everybody says, the NFL's going to be in great shape. They've got Joe Burrow. They've got Justin Herbert. They got Patrick. They're going to be fine. And that is true, obviously. There's a lot of great quarterbacks. But, Doug, there is something about Brady's story. You know, underdog,
no question.
Sixth-round pick. It's
no
just
question.
Like that kind of thing is once in a generation. Like, I know Joe Burrow was nobody's 5 years ago. I mean, it was like a high school star in Ohio. But the Tom Brady story really is one where – yeah, that's just not matchable in sports. And I would I'm a Jets fan.
Kurt Warner's story's better. He wasn't as good as Tom Brady.
Tom Brady won how many Super Bowls, bro? I know the Kurt Warner story's great.
In terms of rags to riches, you can't – nothing – I don't know if anything will compare to Kurt Warner. You're right, though. We're not let me agree with you on this point. And this is like the anti-Rob Parker point, right, which is like, dude, no one's going to go – to 10 Super Bowls and win 7 of them ever again. Pat Mahomes might be the best quarterback I have ever seen, right, in terms of skill set and then being placed in an offense where you got a couple of incredible players. And he's been to 4 straight AFC Championship games and 2 Super Bowls. But the likelihood of them getting to 10 Super Bowls
it's not gonna happen.
Right. It's just
The NFL is structured so that there's not one team does not dominate. What did Brady do? 2 decades of it in New England. And they go to Tampa and wins. Like, it's unbelievable.
Here's the crazy part. We might not have actually seen a good portion of peak Tom Brady because, remember, they go 16-0, 18-0 and lose in the Super Bowl. He misses the next year with a knee injury. And then the following year, you know, he's on the
suspended.
Mend on the way back, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
So those are 2 big years where he had 50 touchdown passes and he had Randy Moss on the team. That team was loaded. So we were kind of robbed of a good portion of prime Brady, and we still had 20 years of
what about, you know, dominance. Everybody talks about the greatest what-ifs in sports. Bo Jackson, obviously. What if Drew Bledsoe does not get knocked out by my Jets linebacker, Mo Lewis, and Tom Brady comes in and then is all of a sudden a star? Like, does Drew Bledsoe, remember, he was like the number one pick. Didn't he sign like a $100 million deal? And he was like going to be the franchise quarterback. Like, Tom Brady happened because Drew Bledsoe got knocked out of a game. Like, that's crazy, Doug.
Mo Lewis knocked him out.
As a Jets fan, I'm not going to forget that anytime soon.
Can I tell you a real story here real quick?
Fire away.
Okay, so when I was in college, okay, I would be on the Jim Rome show, and I would be on I was on Dan's show, and I was on Todd Wright All Night was a ESPN radio show. Okay, it's a real thing, and the producer was a woman. Her name is Louise Cornetta. By the way, happy belated birthday to Louise. She's a huge part of how I got into this industry. Okay, and so this is those were the first games after 9/11. So 9/11 happens, and I was supposed to go overseas and play, and I'd done some fill-in work in Oklahoma City. I had done a year before I had done a couple of games for ESPN regional television, whatever, and ESPN wanted to fly wanted anybody who was working for ESPN Radio kind of a sign of solidarity. We're going to do our shows from Bristol. Well, Todd Wright did his shows from Orlando, from Disney, and he refused to come do the shows. So I got to go. My first national radio solo host show I ever did was the night of Mo Lewis knocking Drew Bledsoe out.
Wow.
And I watched the moment happen at Sliders, which is a sports bar in Plainville, which is the town that abuts Bristol. And they have great wings there. Everybody likes Jay Timms. I'm a Sliders guy. Anyway, okay, this is a real thing. And I'm the idiot, and I hope that tape is destroyed somewhere, that said, oh, Drew Bledsoe's out for a long time. They're going to throw in some Tom Brady who couldn't even win the job the full time at Michigan. Patriots are done this year. No. That's what I. That's actually what I said.
And that's why you had a two-decade career in sports media.
People make fun of. People want to make fun of my Steph Curry eval. You know, coming out of college, the Brady one was way worse.
Yeah.
Way worse, and it was my first show ever. Should have been my last.
It's funny
show
you mentioned
ever.
Steph Curry. I'll never live this down. You know, I started my college career at Virginia Tech. Not career, but my college life. I didn't have a career in college like you did. But Virginia Tech had a guy named Seth Greenberg as coach, and Steph Curry was a budding high school talent, skinny, you know, maybe 135, soaking wet. And he said, yeah, you can be a walk-on. And he's like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, my mom played volleyball here, my dad played basketball here. And he would not offer Steph Curry a scholarship. Wouldn't offer him. And you know the rest is history, of course. Curry goes to Davidson, Elite Eight, NBA, one of the seminal talents in the last 50 years in the NBA. When you talk about importance, Doug, and what they've meant to the game, again, you go to any game where the Warriors are playing, any city, even outside of the Bay Area, and you got 100, 200 easy Steph Curry jerseys in the lower bowl. All the kids love him. They do. Anybody feels like they can be Steph Curry. 6'3", just a below-the-rim guy in an above-the-rim league. I'm getting excited about Curry again. Sorry.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.